Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name's Nathan Totten.
And I'm Nick Harris.
Great. Today we are not joined by a special guest. I think people have been watching our show, and apparently they just don't like it, so they don't want to join us today.
You can be special
today. Yes. Yeah, so Nick is our special guest. He'll be doing the segment today. So
that's right.
Great. But as always, we're going to start off with some news. We actually do have Windows Azure news this week, so we don't have to make it up like we did last week.
I didn't get to watch last week's show.
Oh, that's right. Oh, you missed a treat. Brady's no longer allowed on the show. Or not Brady. Corey is no longer okay. allowed on the show after his outbursts.
No. Oh, really?
Yeah, no. It was you'll have to watch it. But yeah, it was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. I let him do the tip of the week intro, and it lacked enthusiasm, so I told him he wasn't allowed to do it anymore, and then he went crazy, and
okay.
I don't know. So I don't know if Corey's gonna be back as Canadians. So our first bit of news is actually really exciting. We've partnered with Twilio, who, if you're not familiar with it, is the SMS, and they also have voice services. It's an API that enables developers to integrate their application into to use basically text messaging and voice services. So if you wanted to build something on your application that sent a text message, Twilio is really great for that. And so we've actually partnered with them. Not only do they have native APIs for Java, PHP, and .NET, so you can run those on Windows Azure, but we also, with the partnership, we're announcing that you get 1,000 free text messages or incoming voice minutes to use in your application. Right. So I think that's pretty cool.
Out of interest, with Facebook and ACS, can you set up a mapping for a claim to get back a phone number?
That's a good question. I think phone numbers are actually not. I don't think Facebook allows you to expose phone numbers. I can't remember though. It would be an extended permission.
Yeah.
I can't remember though. Actually,
because that'd be sort of cool combining that with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could, like, if anything, you could use a lot of people don't even have their phone numbers listed on Facebook. So if anything, you would just use Facebook login and then just ask them for their phone number. But it would be cool if you could ask directly from Facebook. But I don't know about that actually. Anyway, Casablanca, another really cool thing. Native libraries for C++ for accessing Windows Azure, blob storage, table storage, those sort of things.
So the hardcore devs.
Yeah, so if you're a hardcore native dev, you can now use some of the great Windows Azure services.
Yep. So I think the cool thing there is point number two, convenient libraries for accessing Windows Azure blob and queue storage.
Yep.
So that's just awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So Casablanca is an incubation project, not an official SDK, but perhaps it'll become one someday. Right. So, and our last thing is just a fairly, I guess, minor announcement. The ACS team has announced that they will be migrating version 1 ACS users over to version 2 in June, and that's going to be an automatic migration, so there's nothing you have to do on your part. And from what I understand, it's a seamless transition. You won't be affected, but they do have a tool, an ACS 1.0 migration tool that sort of walks you through and guides you through the things necessary to be aware of. From what I understand, it's completely automatic and seamless to you, and then we will be deprecating version 1.0 of ACS.
Yep. I think the last link on the bottom of the page there is handy. The list of important differences, so people should definitely take note of that as well, I'd say.
Cool.
But cool that it's automated for you.
Yeah, like, yep, absolutely.
Save you time.
If anyone's... I wouldn't imagine too many people are using ACS 1.0 anymore. I mean, all the features like Facebook, Auth, Twitter, all that good stuff, like the user interface are all in 2.0. So, but I suppose there are some customers using it still. So with that, that's all the news for the week, and now our special guest Nick is going to be demoing some Windows Phone notification services.
Yeah, so essentially, quite a few episodes ago, we looked at the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8, and what we demonstrated there was the far new project experience we've built out for you. But what we've actually done on top of that is those far new project experiences are built utilizing NuGet packages. So that's what happens under the hood. So today we're going to take a deeper dive. We're actually going to go and compose these applications using NuGet and dropping in a little bit of code.
Cool. Very cool. All right. Well, I'll let you take over on the computer and we'll start the demo.
Cool.
And now our feature presentation.
So let's get started here. So, as I mentioned before, these are the NuGet packages that are used to compose the far new project experiences in the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8. So that's available on Codeplex at watwindows8.codeplex.com. But all these NuGet packages are actually published up to NuGet.org. So that's what we'll be using today. So if people want to go sort of for the easy street, nice wizard, download the toolkit. Otherwise, if you want to drop this functionality into existing applications you're building, it's just a matter of using NuGet and writing some code for your scenarios. Cool.
So the Windows 8 toolkit gives you, like, it gives you the UI and the templates and all that stuff,
yep.
But it's sort of not, I mean, if you have an existing application, it's not really, like, you wouldn't just use the whole toolkit and the UI. I mean, you're not going to have some test UI in your real-life application
right.
that, like, lets you push notifications manually. So
yep.
if you're, like, adding it on or, you know, you actually want to use this in real life, the NuGet sound like they're the way to get started.
Yep, that's right.
Cool.
So let's start with the client application. So to build out the client application, we're going to use VS 11 beta. Now, for those that didn't watch the last show is on notifications that I did is somewhat a prerequisite to this. So you should definitely watch that to understand the fundamentals, because otherwise this may be a bit too sort of full on. So let's start with a new project, and we're just going to do a blank C# application. So there we are. Now, what we want to do here is we want to be able to request a channel from WNS using the WinRT API. Then we want to register that channel with our cloud service. So let's get started with that. So what we'll do first is we'll drop in a text box. Wrong control. Use a text box a bit nicer for this. So we'll drop in a text block. We'll drop in a button to register. And that will be enough. So let me pull this across. Let's call this one request and register. Let's put a click event on it. Let's double click on this guy. It's easier. Now, I've prepared a snippet here which does the channel registration, request and registration. So we can call this request and register channel. So there's quite a bit of code here. We'll go through that now. So the first thing we need to do is to resolve these namespaces. So we're using classes from the WinRT namespaces here. So in this case, a push notification channel sits within windows.networking.pushnotifications. Scroll down and resolve the rest of these. Text status message, we can fix that in a second. Let's resolve the HTTP client and resolve the task. We've got some async work in here. And that's about it. So. Right, so now that we've resolved all the references, we need to tell this bit of code where it's going to register the endpoint that we get from WNS, being the channel. So we're going to do localhost. So that's configured now. So let's have a look what happens when we actually hit button request and register from the UI. It goes in and it calls into open notifications channel. Now what that's doing is it's calling into this special class in the WinRT API called push notification channel manager. So this is the entry point to being able to get that channel URI, which uniquely identifies a tile on your start screen.
So is all this code in your, this is part of the NuGet package, or is this all just custom code that, I mean, this is all straight Windows, WinRT code, and just custom, right?
Yeah. So this is all straight WinRT code that I've just dropped in here. I do have a NuGet package which delivers this as a WinMD assembly.
Okay.
But because that's an assembly, we can't really look at the code.
Gotcha.
So that's why I've dropped in a snippet today.
So this code is basically included in your assembly. You're just using this to sort of show us what's happened. But
in reality,
if I were a developer doing this, I would just call like one line of code from your NuGet and take care of all this.
Yeah, that's right. And the NuGet package name is that.
Cool.
So let's carry on. So what we do is we call into create push notification channel for application async. Descriptive name, but essentially that's going to return back with a channel. Now that channel uniquely identifies our tile. And then what we do as we move down is we go and say, well, now we've got this channel, we need to tell our cloud service about this channel. Because our cloud service will need to send notifications to this client application. So to do that, we create a payload. Now this payload that it's creating is simply just a HTTP request, and it's got a JSON payload which contains the channel URI, the expiry of the channel, and then some more specifics about this application, like device ID or user ID and those sorts of things.
So is the notifications API entirely JSON-based, or can you do XML and JSON?
Right, yeah, so that's probably a good thing we should clarify is this is calling into my own service.
Oh, I see. I'm using JSON. Gotcha, okay.
But when my service goes to push a notification, that needs to be serialized as XML.
Gotcha.
And we'll look at how we can do that when we get to the server component.
Okay.
Right, so we create the payload, and then we simply just do a put to the server URL, which we configured a little bit earlier, and push the payload up. It's quite literally that easy. So let's fix that one breaking issue on here. So we need to give this a name. And we'll call this text status message. And we need to wire this up to the right button click. And let's make this a bit bigger so we can see the content going in there. So that's basically our client application done. So now we need to build that service running in Windows Azure that this client pushes that channel up to. And to do that, we use VS 2010. So if I run VS 2010 here now as admin.
And this is that you're running in Visual Studio 2010 just because you're going to be building a Windows Azure cloud app, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and so obviously this is a temporary issue because we don't have the Windows Azure tools for Visual Studio 2011 yet, but that will be coming.
Yep.
So eventually you'll just be able to do this entire thing in Dev 11.
That's correct.
Yep. Cool.
So for now, client side is in VS 11, and server side is in VS 2010. So let's create a new Windows Azure project. We'll choose an MVC for web role. And we'll just hit OK. So we'll use a internet application template. Let's let that go and scaffold that up for us. Now what we need to do now is to build out that service endpoint that client is going to send this channel to. And what we've done is we've built a NuGet package for this as well.
Okay.
So we'll drop that into the solution. So let's install package. In this case, it's called Windows Azure.notifications. Now, this one's a little bit special because the way we've designed it, it can be consumed from any client that you've got. So it's really useful for, say, a Win8 client pushing a channel URI out for push notifications, and also a WinPhone 7 client.
Cool.
So we'll demo the Phone 7 shortly. But let's finish Win8 first.
I don't see you earning any achievements while you're doing this. Do you not have the achievements code installed?
No, I had to rebuild my machine, so I haven't had a chance to install that yet. But what was
I think there's an achievement for using this, isn't there? Or is it only for phone?
There's some achievements for phone.
Oh, okay. So we'll presumably get some achievements for Windows 8.
Yep.
Windows 8, Windows Azure development also.
That's correct. Yeah, so what that NuGet package dropped in is essentially a web API controller. And this is called Endpoint Controller. And what that allows us to do is to, you know, call get to get a list of endpoints back, to post those endpoints up into storage. Now, the implementation of this actually goes off and writes these endpoints to Windows Azure Table Storage. So what we'll do now that we've got the endpoint set up, we need to go and write some code to send a notification because we've requested the channel on the client, we've pushed it up to our service, and now our service needs to do something with that channel to be able to send a notification. So now let's put a button on so we can send notifications. And HTML dot, come on man, you should be telling me what to write here.
And so your demo, why is your mouse spinning like that?
I do not know. So let's put in the action name. We'll call it send notification. And we'll just push this into the home controller. There we go. I think that's right. We need another column there. And let's just do a simple button for the sake of time. Input, type, submit. And we'll call this, the value, we'll just call it send notification. Okay. Now let's go to the controller. Go to controller. So let's drop a snippet in here for this. So I'm going to just readjust my screen here a little bit. Send notification controller. What was that? So what we've got now is a post action called send notification that that button's going to call into. And as you can see, all the code I've dropped in here is it's essentially showing that it can't resolve those references. Now, what we've built out to make it easy, you mentioned before, when we post to WNS,
yep.
Do we use XML or JSON? The answer is the tile or toast or badge notification that you're sending is serialized in XML.
Okay.
And to do that, there's quite a few things to get set right. Now, they're very well documented on MSDN. You can go and form your own HTTP web requests and serialize that XML yourself. But what we've built out is a nice little NuGet package called WNS Recipe. And essentially, this creates like a managed API that allows you to new up toast messages, for instance, or tile messages, set a few properties, and call send. So it just increases your, efficiency when you're trying to develop these solutions. So you can do something really cool in a few lines of code.
Cool.
So to be able to resolve these, we need the NuGet package manager console to drop in that NuGet. So let's install package WNS recipe. So for those people out there that are already familiar with the notifications extensions that have been built for client notifications, mm-hmm. you'll note that the API that you're building out notifications with here in the WNS recipe is identical.
Cool.
So you can actually take that code if you're using local notifications and paste it into your services and call send.
It's not actually the same library, but you've built the same API layer, so you can use it
yep.
on both the server and the client.
That's right.
Cool.
So the composition of a notification is identical, apart from where you call send and the authentication piece to WNS, because they're specific for WNS. You don't need to do that with local notifications.
Yep, gotcha. So, very cool.
Yeah. What this NuGet package does is it drops in a whole bunch of documentation that tells you, you know, how to go out and send this first notification. So you can see that it all comes down here, but what we've done is we've dropped that in with our NuGet package. So let's go and resolve these namespaces now.
You could have included some PowerShell script that added those assembly namespace references automatically.
Yeah. Well, in actual fact, we're cleaning up the notifications extensions namespaces here. So by Friday when this is published, it should be a lot simpler for people to go out and use. Okay. Let's build this guy here. Resolve this guy. So let's walk through this code a little bit. So the first thing that we've got is we've got what's called an WNS access token provider. Now, to be able to post to WNS, you need to authenticate against it.
Yep.
And to do that, you need some special keys. So those keys are passed in as parameters to the WNS access token provider, and we need to get them from a specific portal. So if you go to manage.dev.live.com/build, mm-hmm. you'll be able to request these credentials.
And these are one set of credentials for your application, correct?
That's correct.
So you, and really, I think it's important to explain here, this is on the server. You would not include those credentials on the client, right?
There is actually what's called a package name that needs to go on the client.
Okay.
So it's a set
yep.
that goes to client and server.
But what's the one on the server called?
The server credentials are the same thing. There's the client secret,
yep.
package SID for the server.
Gotcha.
And there's a package name for the client.
Okay.
So you need all three to be able to successfully send notifications.
Gotcha. But on your the app that you put in the Windows Store and
yep.
deploy and stuff, you wouldn't actually include like the secret in there, right? Because people could potentially get it.
Well, yeah, you don't include any of the server secrets.
You just include
the client.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So people won't be able to send notifications to you because they don't have your server side
gotcha.
Secrets.
Gotcha. Otherwise, someone could, you know, potentially break into your app and get your secret and then send notifications to all the users of your app. So.
Yeah, secrets should be kept secret.
Yeah, I think the name's fairly clear.
Yeah. So what we need to do is to provide a few little details here to the wizard to be able to do that. So we need to go to the client application to get these, and we've got what's called the package appx manifest. Okay. So let's grab those values from the client application. We've got a package display name of application 12 and a CN here. So let's go to the portal and we'll type in application 12. We'll put our CN in and we'll hit I accept. So what we've got back now are those three credentials which we were talking about. one for the client application and two for the services. So while I've got the client open over here, let's just paste that in. So the client one goes in here. Be sure to take the space off the end. And now let's go back and grab the ones for the services. So we'll grab client secret. Now client secret goes in here. And now let's grab the package SID. And that goes in here. So that's basically it for the auth step. All the rest of the, you know, performing a post to get the access token and then grabbing that access token and sticking it in the auth header when you're pushing a notification is all managed for you in this recipe. So really what it comes down to is take that token provider. What we're doing here is we're iterating through all the endpoints that have been stored in table storage from the endpoints web API that we've put in there.
Yep. So the clients that have registered with the server, now you're going to iterate through all of them to presumably send them a notification.
That's correct. And the code to send a notification now with the WNS recipe becomes quite short. So if we wanted to send a toast notification, it's a matter of newing up a toast notification of the specific template type you want. So there's many different template types for toasts, tiles, and badges. And that's so you've got a really rich way to go and display your data, say, on the tile here or on a toast.
Cool.
So in this particular case, we're just sending a toast that says my toast, and it's got an image on it. We're going to use a Windows Azure logo. Then we call toast.send. We provide the endpoint channel URI. That means that we're addressing this particular application instance in that channel. And then we also pass in the token provider to this such that it can go and do the auth step for us. So that will send a toast notification. If we look at tile notifications, they're a little bit different. So with the tile notification, we knew up, in this case, we're going to try and stick a wide tile notification on the screen here for the application. Now to do that, we've chosen a template called tile wide image and text 01. We've specified some text for that and a public image and an alternative if it can't download that image. So something will be shown there.
Why would it not be able to download the image?
If say that image was removed or something like that from your services.
Okay.
Or if you're referencing some third party's image that you wanted to show up on a tile,
I see.
They may go and delete that. That's why it's important to put an alt in there. So that's essentially a wide tile. But what can happen is your applications, a user can come in and they can actually change the size of the tile. So you can do what I've just done there and make it wide or small. And there's no way to programmatically determine if the tile is currently wide or small for your particular application. So when you're composing these notifications, you need to send both the template for wide and for square.
Okay.
So to do that, you can see the next line of code here goes and forms some square content, square tile. Again, it's a simple template. It just requires an image source. But what we do then is we say on our wide tile content, we set the square content property equal to the square content we've just created.
So you are only sending one notification.
That's
you're not
right.
Actually, okay, that's cool. And so what if you only send the square and it's displayed as the rectangle, the wide one, will it not display?
It's not going to change the wide tile. If you go and pin your tile as smaller, like we
I
did
see.
then you'll see that
okay.
content.
So if you're sending one size, you want to send both at the same time in all situations because you never know what the user has set.
That's
is there a way in your app to make it so your app only displays in square or wide?
Yes.
Okay, so you could say they aren't allowed to do a wide version, but if your app supports both, you should always send both versions.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So that's a good point. So essentially that will send it there. So let's go back to what Nate was saying. How do we tell our client application that it supports both wide and square tiles? So by default, this project, which I've created here, will only support a square tile.
Okay.
Now to support a wide tile, what you need to do is you need to go to the package apex manifest, which we pulled up before, select the application UI tab, and then you'll see by default, the blank template has no wide logo. So that means that at present, it doesn't support wide tiles, only square. So let's specify a default logo for this application. That will then mean that we can send wide tiles. So this is the wide logo here. This is a picture from Sweden. Let's see if we can open that up.
You're using Paint as your default photo viewer?
Yeah.
Look at that.
That, yeah, it's a crazy little car. Just one seat in there.
Did you ride around in it, or you just took a picture by it?
I took a picture by it because I look like a giant. Everything's smaller over there.
Excellent.
But anyhow, so let's specify that wide logo. So typically you wouldn't specify just something green. It'd be representative of your application. And this is the static tile that will always be displayed for your app when it's installed.
Okay.
But we'll use green so you can see the thing change. So we specified our wide logo. Now, we were also trying to send toast notifications. So let's go down here. And the next thing we need to set is that our application is toast capable. If you don't set this, you'll be sending toast notifications, but they won't surface.
Will you get an error message of any kind, or they'll just
I believe it does give an error message in the response.
Okay.
So let's save that. So now we've essentially built our client application. We've built our server-side application. So if everything's done right, we should be able to send a tile and toast notification.
Fingers crossed. You haven't had a lot of sleep, so this is
I built this at 4 a.m. this morning.
This is going to require a lot of editing if this doesn't work.
Yeah. All right. So this endpoints table, I'm using Table Explorer here, a free product you can download online. Now you can see the endpoints table is actually where this endpoint's going to be stored in table storage. So at the moment, this is looking at my local storage emulator. There's nothing there. So if we spin up our services in the client, we should see that channel come in. So let's spin up our services. So that'll take a few seconds.
Be really fast.
Yep. And there's our little send notification button. So if we hit the endpoints URL here, you'll see that it's returned back whatever was in table storage. And table storage at the moment had nothing. So let's spin up the client app and have it register that channel. So we're going to press request and register here. And what that does is request a channel from WNS and register it up with our cloud service at the endpoints URL.
Cool.
That will then dump it into table storage where we can use it to send our notification later.
And let's, fingers crossed, this works because we didn't edit out anything.
That's right.
We didn't do any editing the first few times we tried this.
Everything has been perfect. I'm a genius. So there we go. So
perfect, the first try.
That's right. So we've got our channel and it's registered it. So let's go back to our desktop. And now we can hit refresh on this and we can see now that we've got that channel URI. So our website can now go and post a notification to this using that send notification action that we put into our home controller earlier.
Okay.
So let's go to the web. Let's hit send notification first. So that's going to go off and send a notification. You can see the toast has just popped up here in the top right of the screen.
Nice. You're using the old Windows Azure logo, though. The branding police are going to get you.
Oh, okay. I better fix that. And then if we scroll across here to our application, you'll see that that tile is also pushed up there as well.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah. A few lines of code and a couple NuGets.
Nice. And what happens if I resize that tile now? Will I see the square?
So let's resize it. Let's make it smaller.
Cool.
And there's a square tile.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. Now let's go back here for a second. So we've done this with Windows 8, and we've stored that channel URI into table storage. But when we built out that registration endpoint, the Windows Azure notifications NuGet, we've built it out such that you can use that to push channels up for push notifications in Windows Phone as well.
Okay.
So let's build a WinPhone app.
Cool.
So let's start from a blank application. You could be dropping this functionality into your existing apps. So we're going to blank Windows Phone application, hit OK. And that's going to drop that in there. Now, to send push notifications on Windows Phone, it's quite a similar process. Request a channel, register it with your cloud service. In this case, we're using the common service, which we just dropped in, and then send. To do that, we've built out another NuGet package for Windows Phone specifically. That will call that will call into MPNS. So install package, and in this case we're targeting the phone project, and we're going to say phone.notifications.basePage. So let's drop that in. You can see it's dropping it into our Solution Explorer here. We've got a notifications base page now. So this will have a checkbox that allows us to enable notifications. Now, if you're submitting a phone application to Marketplace, one of the things is if you're using push notifications in Windows Phone, the user has to opt in. So gotcha. This base page allows the user to opt in.
Cool.
And when we opt in, it requests a channel from MPNS in this case, and then pushes that up to our cloud service. So we need to wire up that base page to be called or shown when we run the application. So I'm just updating this here now. Notifications page. So now we've set the phone application to push up that notifications page. We now need to write a little bit of code to send a notification to the phone. So if we come in, go back to our controller, we need to put a little bit of information in here to compose a notification for Windows Phone. So let's go and say if the endpoint dot channel URI contains, and this is Windows dot, we're going to essentially determine if it's a Windows channel URI
yep.
for Windows 8 or
yep.
whether it's a channel URI for phone. We will put a little property in there on endpoint that will tell you. We just haven't had a chance to do that yet. It should be there by the time this is published. So we'll do
so
that.
So it'll be like endpoint is phone or something?
Yeah, it'll be like perhaps device type.
Oh, and then you'll have an enum or something?
Yeah.
Cool.
So that will deal with our Win8 code. Else, in this case, we're just going to assume it's Windows Phone. Now what we need to do is compose a notification for Windows Phone, and we'll just do a toast notification. Now, like the WNS recipe, we've also got one for Windows Phone, and that's called the MPNS recipe. So install that package. I've got the capitalization wrong there. Let's target our web project. It's going to drop in the recipe there for us now. So now to compose a toast, we say toast push notification message. Hit that, resolve the assembly, and we'll call this toast equals to new toast push notification message. We've got a send priority on there, but let's say toast dot title is equal to, what do you want me to put in here, Nate?
Cloud cover.
And toast.subtitle boom.
Boom.
Be more enthusiastic.
Boom goes the dynamite.
So now we call send on that toast, and we just simply say new URI endpoint dot channel URI, and that's it. So with both these two recipes, or NuGet packages, the WNS recipe and the MPNS recipe, make sending push notifications a few lines of code.
Great.
So now let's spin this up. It's going to spin up our services again. It's going to spin up our phone emulator. We're going to request a channel from MPNS in this case, register it with our cloud service. That's going to go into table storage. We're going to hit send, and it's going to send a toast notification tiled to Windows 8, and it's going to send a toast to Windows Phone. So let's let this guy spin up. We'll resize the screen a little bit here. We've got our phone app deployed now. So let's do this. Let's spin up the phone. Do you think this is going to work?
I don't know. We'll see. Otherwise, it's more editing.
Yeah. It should be okay. So let's hit enable push notifications. So now that's requested channel from MPNS and registered it with our server.
Nice. First try, just like the Windows 8 client.
Just that. That's right. And you can see now that we've got two channels, one for our phone app and one for Windows. So now when we hit send, it's going to iterate through all of those channels here. So we're going to see notifications to both Windows 8 and our phone client. So let's switch back to the phone client. Let's find the send button. Now, a toast notification on Windows Phone isn't going to show when the app's running in the foreground.
Yep.
So we're just going to hit back on that guy. So we're just going to hit send, and that's going to send a toast notification to both Windows 8 and Windows Phone, And the cool thing is we've had reuse of that endpoint registration service.
Cool.
So let's hit send.
So Windows 8.
There's the Windows 8.
And boom!
There's the Windows Phone. Pretty awesome. Right, so probably the last thing I'll mention before we move on to that time of the week is if we scroll this down, there's two important things here that you should really take note of when you're building out services that are sending notifications. And that's the response that's coming back mm-hmm. from WNS for Windows 8 or MPNS. So if you're implementing a worker role, essentially that should be looking at these results to see if, say, a device is offline. If it's offline, you want to back off on sending notifications to that until such a point in time that it's there.
Gotcha. And do you get other information about, like does the notification service ever throttle you, or yep. do you get that kind of information in the response, or how does that work?
Yeah, so say for Windows 8, when you're throttled, there's actually an enum here, which you can do tile result, and then there'll be a status there that tells you whether you're throttled or not.
Okay. So and you could use, I mean, this would be a great use case for, say, service bus queues, where you could actually, you know, use those as a method of controlling when you want to, like, if you were throttled, you would stop reading from the queue and just leave yep. them sitting in the queue since they're durable. Yep. And then you could read them, and, you know, you could even implement logic where you decided, this notification was really, like, important. It needed to go out right away, but it's not yep. important. So if it's, 5 minutes old, just delete it and not send the notification, things like, stuff
yep.
like that.
So, definitely. Cool. So there is the notification send result class, and you can see all the different enums that we've got for telling you about the status of that particular device.
Yep.
So let's...
Cool.
That pretty much concludes it. What do you think?
No, it was really good. I mean, I like how... Yeah, I mean, it's awesome how you could send notifications to two devices pretty easily. And then we also have, like, the iOS toolkit and the yep. Android toolkit, so I assume it would be fairly easy to actually implement this similar... using this yep. similar approach to actually add iOS and Android as well, so you could really cover the whole spread of your devices.
Yep. In the iOS and Android space, we haven't built recipes for sending notifications to
yep.
them, but in the Windows Phone toolkit, there is an option to enable sending push notifications to iOS.
Okay.
At which point it requests for the certificate
yep.
That you need to be able to auth against that.
So it's not quite
there,
as easy yet, but
it's
the
not
code's
as,
all there.
Not as well refined yet.
Okay.
But that's something that we may get to do.
Cool.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Well,
all right.
I think it's that time of the week, so let's move on to our tip of the week. Tip of the week.
What? I go away for 1 week and you don't high-five.
We didn't do. Yeah, actually, we didn't do that last week because I let Corey do the intro. But okay, let's. All right.
Okay.
So
we could do that.
We're not gonna do that.
Okay.
All right, and now the tip of the week.
I saw her sitting in the rain, raindrops falling on her. She didn't seem to care. She sat there and smiled at me. Then I knew.
Okay. And
we're back.
So,
I almost fell over.
So, our tip of the week is actually another sort of, we did last time you were on the show, we did like a top five, I can't even remember what it is. My brain's not working, and certainly yours isn't working because you've slept 2 hours. This week we're actually going to talk about a blog post by our friend Peter, who talks about the top 10, or top 7. 7's an odd number.
Yeah.
Request that he rewrite this post for 10.
Three more, come on.
Yeah, come on. It's the top 7 concerns for migrating your existing ASP.NET application over to Windows Azure.
Cool.
So number 1 is talking about handling storage, and this is a pretty obvious one. Windows Azure web roles are stateless, so if you're using your C drive, D drive, whatever on your current VM or your current web host, provides you some durable storage, you would need to make sure to move that off of your Windows Azure VM, your Windows Azure web role. So the most obvious choice is if you're storing like images or something, move those over to blob storage. Not images with your application, but say images people upload. You would want to move those to blob storage.
What about session state?
And then he also goes in and talks about session state. Either recommends using like you could use table storage, or the supported ones are SQL Azure or Windows Azure caching services. Mm-hmm. He also goes to talk about things like bootstrapping your code. So if you needed to do some task like on application startup or configure, set some configuration settings, add table, anything that really needs to happen before your app is ready to run, you could move those into the WebRoll start or run role entry point. Yeah.
So on that one, if I'm say doing the table client saying create if not exist, so that's an example, right, that you'd put that into your role entry point on start because there are performance implications if you're calling that every time you're trying to run
to yeah that I mean a lot I've seen a lot of developers do table storage create if not exist like in the constructor of say a controller in their MVC app, and that's a huge performance hit because that means every request that's using that controller is building that controller, newing up that table client, and then sending an HTTP request to table service, checking if it exists. So you don't want to do that in your web applications request life cycle. You would want to do that one time per role.
It's a pretty cool tip.
And then other things like application dependencies, sometimes that can get you. We do now have a little more tooling than we used to, where when you go to publish an application, you'll get warning messages if you don't have, if certain dependencies aren't included, like if you're using, third-party library, you need to set them to copy local so that when you actually deploy your app, they exist. Otherwise, when you deploy an application, anything that's not included on the server, which even something like MVC4, you would want to use either a bin deployable or copy local. Yep.
The tooling's a bit better that now, though, right? That it's going to give me a warning.
It gives you a warning, yeah. It's a warning, though, so you can still deploy, which I think people are confused about why that is, and it is a little confusing, and it's tricked me up a few times, but for example, MVC4, you could actually bootstrap that on a role, a startup task on your role, and install it globally on your role. So there is a situation where even though you're not doing a copy local on an assembly, that it would be on the role that your web application wouldn't know about. So the tooling isn't, the tooling isn't smart enough to know what a startup task is going to be doing. Yep. So it's not an error because otherwise that would block you. Yep. You wouldn't be able to deploy
and then increase your package size.
Yeah, and then if you have a bunch of if you have 15 websites, you wouldn't necessarily on one role, you wouldn't want I just got that. I was trying to, so if you have 15, if you have 15 sites on a single role, you wouldn't want to have all those assemblies copied. You may want to do that in a startup task.
Okay.
Session state, we already mentioned. Identity and authentication, a few tips here.
What about multiple websites? Is that there yet?
That's there at the bottom. Oh, there it is. Multiple ASP websites on a single role. So, talk about how you can include multiple websites on a single web role. You don't have to just do one VM for every site or two VMs for every site. Obviously, that would get really expensive if you're talking about a lot of different small sites.
Yeah, so you configure the sites node and you add host headers for each of those sites.
Yep.
HTTPS, is that supported across multiple sites?
So it is, but you would have to use. If you want a certificate that's valid, you would have to use it's just like IIS, so you have one IP address for one SSL certificate. So if you wanted to use SSL across multiple sites, they would either all have to be on the same domain, it would have to be a wildcard cert on star.example.com, and then they would all have to be subdomains, or you can buy certs that have multiple domains for all the sites. But it has to be, you can only use one certificate if you're using multiple sites.
Right.
So and that's really that's a limitation really of SS or of the HTTPS protocol rather than any Windows Azure implementation. SSH is just one certificate per IP address or on the same port. I guess you could also, if you wanted to, you could host on 444 and stuff.
Yep. So but multiple sites, one role, cost savings.
Yep, exactly. So so some really great tips. As always, we'll include a link.
That was seven tips. We could have used one of them for each of the next seven shows.
there was some good blogging recently. We had that period of 5 or 10 days where it seemed like nobody was blogging and there wasn't any Windows Azure news. So we actually just made stuff. No, we didn't. We should. That's what we're gonna do next time. If no one blogs, we're just gonna make up a tip of the week. It's not even gonna be real.
Announce something early.
We're gonna announce something that's not real. Windows, Azure, I don't even know. What's something that's, yeah, anyway. Well, next week we'll announce something that's fake. we'll definitely get in trouble for that. Let's call it a day, wrap up the show. You look like a zombie, so maybe you can go home and get some sleep.
I've got 1,500 emails to reply from my week away.
There's no sleep. There's no sleep for you. I suppose if you went to sleep now, you'd just have to, you'd wake up at midnight again, and it would ruin your
schedule. That's exactly right.
So more Red Bull, more coffee,
and
get you through till late at night.
So. That's right.
Great. All right.
Cool. Thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time.